wake up, 'cause it's titties o'clock. Wake up, 'cause I'm hard as a rock. Slumber party massacre, I'm trying to see them titties. Slumber party massacre, I'm trying to see them titties. Jugs and ass and boobs and butts and gazongas and booty and titties and tits and melons and fannies and jugglies and bums and melons and trunk and hooters and cheeks and breasts and tail and boobies and buns and fun bags and posteriors and knockers and keisters and cans, disderior, big little titties, rumps, mommy milkers, holes, mammary glands, donut holes, the twins.
And the mini.
That's all I got for you.
Welcome back to Haunted by Tapes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Strange Glow Video Presents Haunted by Tapes. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've done a Haunted by Tapes. Tonight's feature is a great film called Slumber Party Massacre. But we got to show off the new goods we've picked up this week. So,
Nick, you're going to have... I just have to... Just to tease the people later. I have a... Yeah, don't touch the cable. That's the problem.
I didn't touch the cable. I touched the connection point.
That's part of the cable.
He touched it.
That's the cable here.
He touched it.
What do you have?
He touched it.
We're doing Jurassic Park, Nick. Ketchup. And mustard. What was I saying? Oh, just to tease the people later, I have a little song that I wrote since we... was that an anti-anti song that you gave me on a mix CD one time that had a Slumber Party Massacre song on it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm proud of myself for remembering that band. And were they also from Florida?
Florida.
See, my mind is solid because I hadn't thought about that since I was watching this movie, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that song on that. Gave me a mix CD that I think had four of their songs on it, maybe like two or three, I don't know. But
yeah, that's on my Halloween playlist, the Slumber Party Massacre theme. It's a fucking classic. It's a good jam.
And so I was like, you know what, I should write a little Slumber Party Massacre song. And I did. And we'll hear it later, live, in studio.
Live.
Filmed live before a studio audience. And by studio audience, I mean just the members that are on this podcast.
And Booger, who's between my legs right now.
So
Booger, you're pulling on me cord?
Yeah, you gotta get it. It's right around his leg.
Uh-oh.
So I picked up some of these ESP testing cards. These are the jumbo size cards as seen in Ghostbusters. We just recorded a little video skit where Alec and Nick both go through the cards, and you got to watch that video to see who has more of a psychic ability than the other.
We have equal.
I said you got to watch the video, Nick.
Until you watch it, you might think that. But
viewers
at home.
Picked up a slime blower ray from Maddie Collector.
Did you blow your slime on it?
I'm not of liberty to say. And then it comes with the Subway Ghost, which is pretty fucking cool. This is actually a really good ghost figure.
My main reason for collecting the Maddies is the ghosts and the accessories.
I mean, the figures look pretty good too. They've held
and the unique figures that Diamond Select were. Mattel, I haven't done, or not Mattel, but Hasbro.
Well, I will tell you, there's things that Mattel did much better on some of the details, and there's things that Hasbro did much better. Like, Mattel did a much better job with the belt details, I feel like. You know, because you've got the motherboard and the daughterboard on there. These ones also have the lifeguards on there, if you can see it kind of hidden under there.
What Hasbro do better?
Just the actual look of the suits. I think the texturing on those looks better. Mm-hmm. I mean, even these are painted better, right? The elbow pads are painted correctly. I didn't have to repaint these. Like, I went through and repainted a bunch of shit on my Hasbro ones.
I'm not particularly fond of Hasbro's product here.
Hasbro's were at a cheaper price point, though. Like, these were $30 a figure when they came out, plus $10 shipping each. And so...
Damn, that was back then, too.
Exactly. So, yeah, they paid for better paint to begin with. Like, Hasbro was mass market stuff, and so I feel like that's why the paint was lacking in some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Also ordered a nice little two-pack of some cars. So, I already had one of these ones, these Fujifilm Ecto-1As. So either Alec or Nick is going to be the proud recipient of this one. It's got a couple little paint chips.
I'm the brother. I'm first in line.
And then
blood's thicker than cum.
Water.
Blood is thicker than cum. Is it?
I think it depends.
Blood, I think it's thicker than dog semen is what they say.
It runs thicker than cum. There's more of it.
But then I got this. This is a KFC.
Does it still smell like chicken?
Ecto from Extreme Ghostbusters. Now, this is a really cool car.
What other toys did they release with this?
No. I don't know. This is the first time I've seen one of these on eBay, and so it was such a low price.
There's like a little box with Slimer in it. That's like one of those ones where you turn, I think he disappears.
And oh, yeah. Those
things like that.
I see that one regularly, I guess. That is when I see the little magic box. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a nice little car. I've got a nice collection of Hot Wheels Ecto-1s. And, you know, Hot Wheel has done the real Ghostbusters Ecto-1, the Ecto-1, the Ecto-1A, but they never did an Extreme Ghostbusters one. So it's very disappointing that they hadn't ever given us one. So I've at least got one in scale with those, though.
We haven't even got a physical home release of
it. They did a real Ghostbusters?
Mm-hmm.
Like the nice metal one? Or
die-cast? Not the full-scale size, but the 1/64 scale.
Okay.
The little die-cast one. And they come in the higher-end packaging. They never released it in the dollar packs. But you can get those on eBay for about $15 now. I got mine for much cheaper when I got it, but everything's gone up in price.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
You ready for my stuff?
Hell yeah, son. What'd you get?
American Beauty?
Fuck yeah. That's an autobiography of Kevin Spacey and how he's a pederast, except the gender he chooses in this movie is different than his real life preference, but you know, sometimes life is stranger than fiction. That's a good film, though. Fucking dark. Oh, that's a classic. Didn't Ivan Reitman produce that one, or did he produce the Euro Trip?
He did produce it. And also, so did film editor Sheldon Kahn.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. I had this as a kid on VHS, but I just hadn't come across it in the wild, so that's pretty sick.
Oh, that looks like the box is in great shape, too.
It's in pretty decent condition.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want to, when we're done here, parade me around on your shoulders like Rudy, I'd be down with that.
Okay.
Rudy.
Sorry, Sean Astin.
Yeah, I'm not crazy for sports movies, obviously, but Rudy's like...
I like sports.
There's a weird place in my heart for it.
I like sports movies a lot more than I like sports.
For sure.
Hmm. Yeah, our dad used to like watch the movies. Is that where you saw it?
Probably.
The fuck are you, what the fuck is this?
This is a creepy troll tape.
Trolleys?
Trolleys Musical Adventure. Songs include We Will Rock You, Love Train, Na 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 Na, Hey Hey.
Why did you get this?
Toadie's Flying Machine and more. The fucking Goodwill. It's from 1993. No. Peter Pan Industries.
No, why did you get this?
Because look how disturbing that is.
Oh.
Yeah. So a few things. I found someone had thrown out a Mitsubishi VCR artwork, and I don't know if it works or not, so I brought it home to test. And then the ALF Mad magazine that I bought recently. The shipper reached out to the USPS and they basically lost it. So he offered me a refund. I was like, I'll give it another week before I give up on that. But
fuckers.
In my experience, it's gone.
Yeah.
What else you got, Alec?
All right. I just want to point out, I have Clueless here.
Okay.
But it's one of those ones that was folded like this, you know,
uh-huh. Not
the flap in. which is how it should be. I just want to point that out to people that it pisses me off. Stop doing that. I mean, you know, nobody's doing that anymore because VHS, but fuck you people of the past.
When you take it to Goodwill, don't do that.
Yeah, when you drop it off, have some dignity for that VHS.
You buy someone's wedding tape?
Shit, I don't even remember what's on this or if I even checked it yet, actually. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Brian Regan stand up and Kathleen Madigan, which I don't give a fuck about. Here's why I bought the tape. X Games 2000 and Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, there's fuck yeah.
They're selling the shit at Goodwill?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because people buy those as blank cassettes. You know, the one we erased yesterday?
The big get of the week, The Satanic Rites of Dracula. But it's just called The Rites of Dracula on tape because they're probably like, let's not spook people.
We can't put the word satanic on Walmart.
But this is obviously starring Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. Mm-hmm. So that's sick.
They're both from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Now let's be honest, the biggest buy of the week since the last episode recorded was I scored Alec and I each a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive ALF, the convention version of ALF. So he hasn't shipped yet, but I was able to snag two of those, one for each of us.
Sick.
Oh, I saw that listed.
Yeah, I missed it on Thursday when they had it for sale, but then on Friday morning when it came up for sale, I basically had my reminder set and I was rocking and rolling. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Where on earth is Carmen Sandiego? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember watching that show as a kid and like no one ever like got it like past like the first level and it was always disappointing. I'm like, you dumb bastards.
The Powerpuff Girls tape.
They didn't know where anything was on the map.
It has five episodes, which is pretty sick because usually they only had like two or three.
Nice.
The town.
Two more things.
River.
A comic book. Godzilla. Right? Here There Ooh. Be Dragons. And this is basically Godzilla versus fucking pirates.
Well, that's not even.
It's so, pretty cool.
Pretty interesting.
Is it like three pages?
No.
Because Godzilla would take out them pirate ships real quick.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, he's not. You know, it's typical shit. Like, there's pirates having war, and then Godzilla's like all of a sudden there, and then.
Wait, what year is it?
Probably the 1700s, I'm imagining.
I thought Godzilla came around because of the nuclear bombs.
Yeah, I don't know if he's time traveled or what the deal is. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know. That's what I was just thinking. Like, that's a cool premise, but wasn't that a result?
Yeah, I read the first couple pages when I was in the store just to see, like, what's the feel here. And it seemed like it was well written. I just hadn't got.
I like the artwork.
Yeah, it reminds me of Lost.
Oh, there's Jared Leto right there.
I think that's Jared Leto.
And it looks like that character. So,
is that Queen Amidala? So it's a long time ago.
It's Pennywise.
Yeah. It is.
And the last get.
You're a get.
For $5.99.
The complete eighth season.
It's not just the eighth season. This is the Korean version of X-Files. Seasons 1 through 9, 69 DVD set.
All black people have been digitally
for $6 at Goodwill, and it's missing one disc. And I was like, "Fuck it!" Out of 69 discs,
69.
I can always order the one disc if I want it.
Yeah,
well, that's a complete series then.
Yeah, well, so it
minus the
folds out, and it's like a whole fucking big box.
That's cool. Well, and since it's Korean, is it like the slim packaging, so it like doesn't eat up a million?
Is it in English or?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It says
English. You have to read
Korean and English here, and then it also is region one. It says it's region one, so I was like, huh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so that'll play. Yeah, without using your PlayStation.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have a working PlayStation right now, but I know most PlayStations will play any region stuff.
You get so many changes on your region on the PS3, I think it was, and then you're locked in.
Hmm. I think the PS4 just allowed you to play anything, but
I think PS4 was region free, so you could play any region on it, I think.
Yeah, because I had
DLC, I recently found out.
I had a copy of like Eraserhead from Japan that worked on the PS4 that I lived.
Yeah, because my PS3 would play the Japanese Ghostbusters Answer the Call Blu-ray I got.
Oh.
What is this?
Ooh. Peanut butter cups.
Ooh. I picked up a Mohawk Mogwai figure and a Batman figure and a new board game.
A board game?
Well, I should say the third edition of a board game I already had, but they supposedly made improvements. Betrayal on House on the Hill. Very okay. good tile building game.
Nice. And is that what the other versions of the game are called?
Yeah.
Or is it just... Okay.
It's the third edition. They made some change, some minor changes and improvements. And...
Interesting. So we're going to talk a little bit about Slumber Party Massacre now. So this is a
softcore
female,
porn.
Female written and directed movie.
Was it lesbian?
It was written by a feminist activist, actually.
I figured it was a dirty pervert.
Who was writing parody.
Yeah, it was originally. It was.
Came in and we're like, no, we're going to do this. And also, Roger Corman was like, titties. Give me them titties.
Well, a lot of it's early on, too. It's like, it's not through the whole movie.
Hold on, I got to launch Farrago here while we're chatting about this real quick.
Yeah, so this is from 1982. And like you said, Alec, it was written as social commentary basically on the slasher genre and the exploitation of women. And they basically did it as a straight-on horror film when they decided to actually make it, directed by Amy Holden Jones. So she's directed a lot of films, including the movie Beethoven. And then she had a movie...
She did not direct Beethoven. She wrote it, though.
Oh, she wrote it? Okay, I just saw her name credited to that.
Also. Yeah, I went down and looked at her things because I was curious... And it said that she only wrote Beethoven and Mystic Pizza, but like that's still good.
Who directed Beethoven? Wasn't it Ivan Reitman? Or not Ivan Reitman?
He produced it. Like Chris Columbus or somebody like that, maybe.
Oh yeah, I think
that. Makes sense. Yeah, probably so. That sounds about right.
It's also a runtime of 1 hour 17 minutes. I noticed, but it felt longer. There wasn't that many commercials on Tubi, so I don't think it was that.
I thought, okay, this is I've watched this movie once before.
Yeah,
and I don't remember like. I remembered like the first half of it.
Didn't they remake it at some point?
In 2021, they did a remake on it. I haven't seen that.
There was a sequel too that Tubi auto played.
There's two sequels.
Two sequels?
At least. And then there's other ones that were going to be sequels that they turned into like Cheerleader Massacre and shit like that.
Yeah, technically those are spinoffs of the same kind of concept, but they just renamed it under their own thing.
Have I seen this killer in something else? Like the actor or stuntman? Maybe this reminds me of somebody
that I used to know.
Yeah, when this movie started, I was like, oh, great. Because I honestly had never seen this before. I just thought it was like, hey, I want to cover that mostly because the anti-anti song we talked about. I'm like, you know, that's got to be a pretty good song if it inspired you to write at least an entertaining movie. If it inspired you to write a song about it.
This movie holds up for a slasher of its budget, I think.
Oh, yeah. And no, I had a good time watching it.
Too crazy, you know. I like the opening shots of the bed and the radio and stuff like that. It seemed a little artsy, which it quickly lost that feel, but you know, it was there for me.
It felt like it was trying to ground it into reality, but also like softcore porn because, like, immediately, like, oh, there she goes. And
59 seconds in,
yeah, it's titty time.
Gonna break that button on this
movie.
Literally 1 minute and 59 seconds into the film starting.
I like in the shower where they just pan down slowly to her ass and just they just sit there.
Oh, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't blow up your load early here.
Mm. Yeah, so
my blue jacket. Like just weird pointless dialogue there. That's funny to me.
That's one thing I thought of watching this. There's a lot of pointless dialogue. There's no plot at all, even trying.
Well, the plot is there's the little news clip that comes on the radio at the beginning that says that tells you the killer's name. Russ Thorne is on the loose, basically. He's our killer from the 60s that's loose in the early 80s now.
Okay.
And yeah, it's very subtle, but it basically tells you who the killer is going to be at the beginning of the movie, which is kind of nice, right? Lots of times you got to wait for it, you know? It's almost got a.
They show his face like right away, too. Like there's no mystery to the killer. Like,
yeah, and I appreciate that too, right? Everyone tries to make that mysterious, but like, why not just show that this is some crazy killer? Like, you don't got to hide who it is. They're just a fucking wacko.
Well, and she's throwing stuff in the trash, like gathering all these like childish looking things from a room and throwing them away, assumably because people and shit. So,
yeah.
And then you see the hand take the doll out of the trash. That's just funny and less.
But I got to tell you, when I was writing the notes about that, I said she throws the toys and collectibles in the trash like an asshole.
The collectibles.
Yeah. I mean, granted, in the 80s, I don't think they were calling them that. But I mean, I feel like that vintage Barbie's probably worth a good amount of money on eBay right now. Mm. And they're out here just fucking using it for murder movies. A wild shit. Which actually, this movie got me hyped up for the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah. I saw there's a Barbie Sunday out too at Cold Stone. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go have that.
How's that? $20?
I'm sure it's like $7 or $8.
They're expensive.
It'd be worth
it. Then we meet the guys at the school that are hitting on the woman that's a telephone worker, right? Telephone repair person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like really coming on to her, and then like immediately she gets pulled in the van by Russ. And
I like how you can see her getting killed in the van when they're walking away, though.
Yeah, and she like they don't even like notice it.
I thought they noticed her like tapping on the window, but didn't think anything of it or something.
Yeah. Okay, and then one of my favorite scenes, the basketball scene.
Oh yeah,
that is a bouncy scene.
Yeah, they're not wearing any.
Yeah,
they're not wearing any support.
Damn right, it's the way it should be.
Actually, that's better. That's better for you.
And it's cold in there. Yeah, but I think it's probably irritating while you're playing basketball, though. You need a sports
bra. I mean, do you though? Like humans weren't designed to wear clothes. We designed clothes ourselves. But anyway, they say that you're better off fighting gravity, not wearing them all the time and things like that, because you maintain your muscular structure underneath them than by wearing bras.
But I'm sure wearing a sports bra just for basketball games will probably not really affect it.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But so death number one was the phone repair woman. She gets killed by that auger bit, and we get to see those, right? That's a pretty fun kill to start the movie off. Nothing like over the top, but kind of gives you an idea of what we're up against. And I said titillating basketball. And then they're in the bathroom and they make that joke.
I think are your tits getting would be more popular if it was like this.
Well, the joke in there was like, are my tits getting bigger? And then there's a whole group of women that say, mine? ?
And then we see.
Yeah, it's titty time.
Times three, baby.
Is that all it was?
Three sets of tits. Okay. I don't think you saw entirely like both. You didn't see six breasts. So let's put that ass. Way.
And some side boob.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of ass too. Yeah. Soapy. Yeah. I wrote soapy ass heart.
Well, yeah. It's pans down and just stops right on your butt while they're talking about.
I wrote ass. Shit.
Yeah, and like hers, you saw like a gratuitous amount of side boob for hers.
Yeah.
So
that's a fun scene too. I was hooked by this point. I was all in. I was
ready to
watch this movie.
It's very vintage 80s because like in 80s movies is like it seems like comedies and horror movies like just like had to find a way to show tits.
And it's okay because a woman directed it.
I mean, yeah. If you say so.
I mean, I'm joking, obviously, partially, but like at the same time, it is what it is. That's what these movies are.
There's no sex though. I mean, they're about to have sex at one point and then
yeah. Although the woman that gets felt up in the car, that's a breast double of a different actor, just one of the other women, because the woman there was like, no, I'm good. I don't need my breast being felt up on camera.
That's fair.
But also, did you see that guy? Like these women were out of their league.
Yeah, her boyfriend looked like a baby.
He looked like Sloth.
Like a giant baby.
If Sloth got a job, you know, like a car dealership.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked really weird. And then the other two guys are dorks.
Yeah, I mean, they could still get it probably, though, but I don't think he could. That other guy, he just was off-putting.
Well, she called him gorgeous.
So I can't imagine why the actress didn't want that guy feeling up her tits on camera. Can't imagine why.
They could have used a stunt hand.
Just like a rubber hand. It's not grabbing anything. It's just going like this.
Stunt hand. A more beautiful hand to do it. More attractive hand. Like a hand double.
Damn, I wish I had beautiful hands. That'd be a job, wouldn't it?
A hand model?
No, a hand double for tit scenes in movies.
Yeah, it's basically a hand model.
Mm-hmm.
Like David Duchovny in Zoolander.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get the whole talking shit about the party there, and we realize that Valerie's not invited because she transferred to the school and isn't part of the cool kids.
Aww.
And she hears them talking shit.
She's pretty enough, though.
Oh, yeah. What are you bringing to the party? Doritos, Notos, Benny's, and Crystal Meth.
Mm-hmm. And they're planning a party hard. That's a sleepover. Oh, I forgot to mention the creepy neighbor at the beginning, right? He's like, yeah, I'll watch your daughter while you're out of town. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then later on, he gets even creepier. He's like, oh, this seems like a kind of a groomer kind of a guy. Like the kind of guy's like, oh, it's your 18th birthday. I better go knock on your door. And you're like,
Well, at least he's not trying to kill her with a power drill.
Oh, that's true. So Tris tries to invite Valerie. Doesn't work out. The killer's watching. Linda's got to go back to get her shit. And then we got this fun little, like, high school killing scene that's kind of entertaining.
It's, yeah. For low budget, it was fine. You know what I mean?
It like, almost had some, like, Nightmare on Elm Street vibes just because they're in the high school there and it's, like, the slasher film. And it's a different scene than, like, the rest of the movie basically takes kind of place at the house. Yeah. And so I did like that it was a change of scenery. Like, we don't have all the kills just in one location. I do like how there's a few changes here throughout the film. I think that adds to it, right? Especially on a low budget, having a few locations really makes it feel like it's bigger than it really is.
Yeah.
Ralph, we get the drill fake out.
Huh? What?
Oh, we get that drill fake out.
Yeah, well, that's the same way to put it. The peephole scene, which then she doesn't install anything.
Yeah, that was
no.
That was,
fucking drills a hole.
That was really unsafe. She should have had the door open.
Yeah. Ralph Jones is Amy Holden Jones, the director's brother, and he did the score on a fucking Casio.
That's fucking brilliant because the score is pretty good. I was having fun with that.
It's good for what it was for sure. There were parts that were like, all right, I see what you're doing here with the Halloween reference, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not the Halloween theme. I think it's Lori's theme or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of,
That's what I was thinking watching it.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
Then. And then the outdoor stuff of her walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was fun. It worked pretty well, and it was a cheap score, right? You know, there's the slasher genre really started out with like basic, cheaper scores just because, you know, you could do a pretty cool score with the synthesizer back then, and they were all the rage. So,
we're here for the orgy.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And then there's Maui Wowie. That's when the neighbor's in the house already creeping.
Mm-hmm. He's like, "Don't worry, I won't tell."
She making Kool-Aid doing that one? I didn't see
that. Yeah, it was Kool-Aid. That's Valerie and her sister Courtney, though. That's at the other house.
Either that just happens next, is what I was pointing
out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they make the Kool-Aid. It's not Flavor-Aid, it's actual Kool-Aid brand, I think.
Courtney rubs her bean to a Sly Stallone Playgirl.
That's a child, Nick.
I know.
Well, I guess you didn't make the movie.
Nope.
Yeah, I was gonna point out the Playgirl, but I wasn't gonna say anything about what went down, possibly.
I mean, the implication right there is speaks for itself. But Nick's gonna spell it out for us. He likes to do that.
Mm-hmm. She's like, Gordon's on the phone. She goes and picks up the phone. Hey, how's it going? It's me, Gordon Subway.
Hey, Willie, wanna see my Willie? All right, yeah. Mr.
Oh.
Yeah, it's titty time.
when they're having this sleepover, they're just fucking all changing.
Yeah, they all decide to change in the living room besides Diane, so then she's got to be the one to go get firewood because she's dressed.
Mm-hmm. And of course, titties, butts.
And then we got to think like, oh, Diane's going to die next. And no, Mr. Constant dies. Or Mr. Content, whatever his name is. Kind of weird.
Mr. Content?
What is he saying?
Yeah.
Constance? I don't know. I thought I heard it like three different ways, to be honest.
Yeah, and the subtitles like seem to be kind of maybe inaccurate, so that's what I wrote it down, but I didn't write it down for my IMDb.
The one girl's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go get some beer. But that's, I guess, right before she does that.
Yeah, it's titty time.
Because the girl's getting felt up in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that already, but we didn't get to it chronologically. So, and then, you know, the guy gets his head removed, which is great. That's one of my favorites. When she goes out there back to make out with him and fucking his head falls off.
Yeah, that's a good kill.
I was about to say, our pets' heads are falling off. Booger. Getting in trash. My notes are kind of sporadic at this point. I just started watching the movie, but I like the pizza guy with no eyes falling in, and then they just drag him in and close the door.
Yeah, and they keep him in there. My favorite part about that guy, though, is later on when Russ finally gets in the house and fucking hauls the body out to his collection.
Yeah.
And then he finds out, well, we'll get to that.
Like that girl still eats the pizza. And like just puts the box on the body.
Yeah, later on she's like, yeah, I just well, they're still hungry, right? They're planning on eating and then no.
Yeah, she's eating it off the dead body too. That's kind of weird.
I mean, it was in a box, so who cares?
Yeah, but she's using the body as a table though.
Was it in a box with a box?
What are you doing?
I don't know if it was in that box. I think it was a pizza box. I'm not 100% sure.
In a hole? Out of a bowl?
What are you getting there?
This.
Oh, what the fuck?
Is the Omnicore.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why is it shaped like cock and balls?
It represents an auto harp, which is something like most famously you'd probably see June Carter playing. It's a synthesizer version of that, essentially, but it's very easy to play. It's a good beginner instrument for anybody because you just hit a button and it says G. You hit the G button and it plays fucking G.
Is this for your psalm?
Yes, it is. It's just a cool sounding instrument and it's easy to dick around with. So
is this time for your song right now?
Yeah, hold on. You can keep talking for a second while I set this
okay.
up.
Okay. So since you pulled out the Omnicord, they have a new version of that coming out for the 75th anniversary of those. Is that right? Is it 75th?
Shit, I don't know. It can't be that. This is Omnicord System 1. I think it's from 84 or something.
Okay.
It's from the 80s, all the models. And then they used to have, like, even when I was looking at synthesizers, Booger, what are you chewing on?
I mean, they've sold those off and on for quite a while, because when I was an intern at the studio in Memphis, they brought that in, an Omnicord, and recorded a song with it. Or, you know, it's on a song we recorded in there.
Yeah.
So...
just testing the levels here real quick.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I do this?
Hold on. Yes. Here we go. I'm probably going to fuck this up and it's going to sound awful, but regardless, it's going to be fun.
Wake up, 'cause it's titties o'clock. Wake up, cause I'm hard as a rock. Slumber party massacre, I'm trying to see them titties. Slumber party massacre, I'm trying to see them titties. Jugs and ass and boobs and butts and gazongas and booty and titties and tits and melons and fannies and jugglies and bums and melons and trunk and hooters and cheeks and breasts and tail and boobies and buns and fun bags and posteriors and knockers and keisters and cans, desderier, big little titties, rumps, mommy milkers, holes, mammary glands, donut holes, the twins.
And the mini.
That's all I got for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't keep That's up with good. The breath. I should have practiced that more so I could get the breath in there. But, you know, you get the point. It was just a bunch of names for titties and ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. Mm. I like the vibes of that. You know, that had a... what was that movie Nick made us watch the other day?
Made you want...
Bullshit.
Strangler?
Yeah. It had the Strangler vibes.
Oh, that music and that, yeah.
Yeah, the music and that. And it also, like, at some points when you're playing over the beat, had some Bloodhound Gang vibes. Vintage Bloodhound Gang. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's a fun instrument. There's a video even going around right now of, like, how the Gorillaz wrote one of their songs, and it's literally just one of these presets of... But anyway, that's that.
That's all right, battle. So back nope. in... What? Is that all you got on the movie?
Yeah, that's all I got. No, I watched it. I just didn't take any more notes.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of keeping track of the kills there. So we're like on kill 7 or 8, I think, here. The guy gets killed in the garage after he finds Diana's body that, like, flops down. That's actually a pretty cool scene. I like how she flops down, hanging upside down. That was fun.
She should have been topless.
Russ is hiding the bodies out there, and then I like how he does like a fucking Home Alone style head count, and he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and he realizes one of them's like crawling towards the fucking door. Mm-hmm. So he's got to go finish the kill.
Yeah, that's
and
funny.
Then
is he like collecting the bodies for something, or is he trying to like hide them from the authorities?
He just stashed them.
Because even after they know that there's a killer in the house, he's still trying to, like, hide them.
He's having fun with it, you know?
Is he going to have sex with those bodies?
That guy has no... I don't think he has a plan, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's just killing them because they're pretty, basically, he says later on. He's like, you're pretty. I'm in love. I love you. And you're like, whoa. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Too soon, dude.
Yeah.
Get to know her a little bit.
Yeah. So Jackie gets killed trying to let Valerie in. When Valerie comes and knocks and tries to save her. And then we start getting the lightning and thunder, which kind of makes things a little bit interesting. Just because they're like, oh, let's add some sound effects. And you're like, randomly decided to do that? Okay. So it was pretty quiet as far as that goes for the most part, right?
I don't think it rains, though.
No, it doesn't.
Just some lightning and thunder.
Yeah. Classic horror movie.
Then they hit Russ with the bat, and then he gets stabbed with the knife. And then Kim gets killed by the knife. Trish escapes, so that's pretty fun, right?
Why does he hide under the sleeping bag?
For funsies.
Because he didn't know that one woman was coming over, so.
The coach? Yeah, no,
Yeah. Does he see a smile on his face when he's lying down, too?
Yeah, his character, like the character that plays Russ, kind of gave me some Bob vibes from Twin Peaks.
Oh, yes. I was going to say that, too, just not because of the outfit. But
I thought you were talking about Video Bob for a second.
No.
No.
He can't ask for your soul.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
Yeah.
Just the look. Just like, I think it's the eyes more than anything, right? They don't even have a similar facial structure. It's just the way he like has that intense gaze. Eyes,
yeah.
He looks into boys' holes.
Yep. Grandfather clock chimes as Valerie and Courtney see Kim's body. And then the pizza guy gets thrown down to the basement, which is funny. Like, he drags the body and then throws it down the stairs. Like, he wanted to grab it earlier, but since it fell into the house, he kind of missed out.
Yeah.
And then at that point,
those eye holes.
Yeah. So then Miss Jane shows up. She gets killed because Russ is under that blanket, kind of backpedaling a little bit there. And then I thought that we're going to have another kill right there, but it took a second because they kind of escape. And then we get the knife. They get the coach gets killed, and everyone's kind of in the living room there for the big finale, right? The big fireworks scene.
Yeah.
And then,
fireworks.
She's pretty. Russ says.
I like the pool scene at the end. You know, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, and then the classic, like, the killer's not dead, so they got to finish the job.
Of course. Always.
And especially back then, like, is that trope was just kind of beginning then? Like, this is 82, so, like, this is early enough that it...
Okay, even after people pointed out that trope, they still do it. You know what I mean?
I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, early on, like, it's not as... Sometimes I get annoyed when new movies do that all the time still.
Well, that's the thing. When Scream pointed it out in 1996, people should have stopped doing it for probably 15 years. And then maybe
we can
do some more of it. But, like, they just kept doing it.
No, they're just like, whatever. It's like part of the genre, I think, people think. So they're just like, whatever. Falls in the pool. The sisters hug. Russ climbs out. And then he gets impaled on the machete. Russ dies. And then, which actually, that's one of the better death scenes that you see. Because a lot of the scenes are like, there's no, you see blood splatter.
Yeah, you see
people get cut. Yeah, and which is fine because for a low budget, right? It's hard to do, especially with the drill. Like, how are you going to drill into people? They use that gigantic fucking auger bit to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the credits rolled. I had fun with this movie. I think it's kind of one of those movies that I think influenced a lot of other, in the genre.
I was
entertaining enough. Yeah,
want to add it to the collection.
Is there a lot of nudity in the sequels?
I don't know. Like I said, I've never seen those. Well, had no idea.
Eventually, you know.
I'd never seen this until, so I didn't know that there are that many titties in this one.
Uh-huh.
So. Mm.
Neither did I. And I watched it with my grandma.
Oh, what'd you think?
Of the titties?
Yeah.
Or the movie?
Both.
Well, she died about halfway through it.
So. Well, that's unfortunate.
That tells you something.
From excitement?
I don't know. I haven't done the autopsy.
Are you going to do it?
From dehydration, from having such a whop from watching that movie.
It's fucked up, but it's funny. You sick mob, you know that? Just sick.
Yeah.
That's why we get along. Yeah, so do we want to go down the road of the sequels of these ever?
Yeah, eventually. Well, at least start with the second one and then reassess, you know?
Got to compare the remake, too, you know? Does the remake have
boobs? Probably not.
What if it was a gender swap and there's just a lot of cock?
Whatever. That's fine.
It's like you don't see a lot of nudity in horror these days until you cross over into the art house horror. Then you get your boobies back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's like in Midsommar, for example. There's boobs in that movie, right? Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of nude people in that movie. And like the orgy scene and shit. There's just nude women hanging around.
The redheaded girl, I remember, gets naked.
So there you go. That's
I love that movie. There was a video on YouTube, someone just trashing it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's I've watched that twice and enjoyed it both times. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's solid. Yeah. Although, as
in summer.
Unpsychedelics, it is difficult to watch for me because it is just like, oh man, this is the worst thing to imagine psychedelics doing. It's awful to think about. But
so the thing about that movie that really gets me, and I can say, like, not a lot of horror movies bother me anymore, right? But that one just gives me existential dread.
Midsommar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Existential dread. And like, to me, like, that's more terrifying than a lot of other horror movies. And I enjoyed it, but you know, when we talked about it, I was like, I don't know if I liked it a lot because of the existential dread, but I'm like, well, really, it gave me more feelings than a lot of other horror movies have. So got to give it credit for that.
It's doing something right if you're not feeling.
Yeah, if horror movies can't scare you, but they still make you feel uneasy. That's a win, I think.
That's kind of. You remember feelings, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before I blocked those all up.
Yeah.
Movies. Repressed memories.
Mm-hmm.
You drink that. Is that the one you're supposed to drink?
No, I didn't drink it yet.
Alec is going to drink a 30-year-old Jolt Cola at some point in time.
It's a 32-year-old Jolt Cola. It's my age. It's the same age as me.
So you can save it for your 40th?
Jesus. No.
Okay.
Wow. Big yikes.
Well,
I think we're running out of steam.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't think there's much else to say about this movie. It's fun. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Listen to the song. Alec, are you going to do a formal recording of this song that you demonstrated for us?
Maybe. It would be a lot better.
Yeah.
It's chaotic.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be worth doing, even if you only do like the one verse and have it be a little 30-second jammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jammer.
It's like the sequel to Titty Time.
Titty Time.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, if you like what you heard, please join us on Patreon for like $3 a month. You can join and get access to behind the scenes shit. We're not going crazy on there right now, but we've got some stuff up there that's fun.
Yeah, we post extra content. We need to do another episode for that soon.
And join us next week for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the epic finale to the Indiana Jones saga.
Sure.
Wait, does Harrison Ford die?
I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana Jones dies.
Oh, I think he asked if Harrison Ford died.
Did Harrison Ford die in the movie? No. He'd have been pretty young in 1969.
Harrison Ford in real life. I mean, if he crashed that plane, I was wondering.
He drank from the goddamn cup of Christ.
It's Steven Spielberg and George Lucas having their way with Indiana Jones.
Like in South Park.
That's exactly what I'm describing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it fucking had much to do at all with this one, though.
Yeah, true.
I mean, anyway. Lucas sold his shit off, and I don't think Spielberg gives a fuck. So, let us know if you give a fuck about Slumber Party Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.